Thank you, Austin and Kevin, for leading us in worship this morning. It's such a delight to be here this morning, to be gathered together with our family, the family of God, to think about God, to worship Him, to praise Him, to lift up His good and great name, and to encourage one another in that process, and to build each other up in our faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as we have been doing this morning. It is always encouraging, as has been mentioned, I think, through the last few weeks, since our college guys and even our young men that are with us regularly continue to lead us in worship and continue to use the abilities, the gifts that God has given to them, and to grow in those particular abilities. It is always an encouraging thing to all of us to see young people who have a desire to serve the Lord and to serve His people. And we pray that that will continue this morning. Throughout the years, it has been known by different names. Some have called it courting. Some have called it going steady, going out, going together. But whatever you choose to call it, dating is very much an accepted part of our modern American culture, to the point that many young single people regularly receive pressure from our culture, from their peers, sometimes from their parents, even sometimes from their brothers and sisters in Christ to date. And if they don't date or they are not currently dating, people start asking the question, what's wrong with you? And sometimes those young folks who are not dating or have not dated are sort of viewed as strange. And sadly, given the times in which we live in this day and age in this country, sometimes they are viewed as homosexual. There's something wrong with them. How does the world view dating? Does God say anything in His Word that relates to dating? And if He does, what does it say about His way of dating versus the world's way? This morning we're going to continue the theme that we're thinking about this year of in the world, but not of the world, by thinking about dating in today's world. I want everybody to listen to the lesson, not because I'm preaching it, but hopefully because we're speaking truths from the Word of God. I don't want just you young folks to listen. I want you to listen very closely. Hopefully there's something that you can take away from this lesson. But many in this audience, we think we're way past that time in our life. And most of us, as we went through that time at one point in our life, we probably think, I hope I never have to go through that again. But I want everybody to listen this morning, whatever age you are. Because if you are a parent, you may have children still at home that are not yet to the age of dating. You may have children at home that are of dating age. You may have children that have moved out of the house and are still in that point in life where they are looking to find a spouse and going through that process of dating as our culture goes through it. You may be a grandparent that has a grandchild. So whatever stage you are at in life, I hope that you will listen very closely, because I think there are some good truths and some good principles that we can each hopefully take out of this morning's lesson, and we can look at our own lives and we can apply them as we need to our own situation. As we begin thinking this morning about dating in today's world, I want us to take a few moments to think about dating man's way, to think about dating in the world's way, from the world's perspective. Those who are dating age, or maybe those of us who are of any age that are present this morning, we may be surprised to know that dating, at least in the way that we think of that particular term, is a relatively modern concept. From what I have been able to determine doing a little bit of research on that, the idea of dating as we look at it today kind of took hold in this country anyway as recently as the early 20th century. So it's only been about 100 years or so. And of course, dating has continued to change and evolve very much so as time has gone on. to where dating today is not like dating for some of you who did that maybe 50 or 60 or 70 years ago. For most of human history, though, it has been the case that parents were the ones who arranged marriages for their children. We see that even as we read the Scriptures, don't we? As we go back especially to the old Scriptures, we think maybe about a classic example there of Abraham. Sarah has died, his wife, and he sends his servant back to his homeland to find a suitable woman that can be a wife for his son Isaac. It was an arranged marriage there. And that's the way it has been for much of human history from what I can determine. Now, saying that, having said that, I don't think any of us, perhaps parents or children, want to return to that particular arrangement. We who are parents might take some pleasure in picking out the particular person, but then we may not want to be as involved in that arrangement as parents have been in the past. Children today certainly don't want that. There may be some of us sitting in the audience this morning who knew the very person that our parents would have picked out for us to marry. So barring a return to that in our culture or some other kind of method of picking and finding a spouse, whether we like it or not, dating is here to stay in our society, and we as Christians must deal with it. Parents, how are we going to deal with dating with our children? Single folks, young folks who are of dating age, how are you going to practice dating? Are you going to practice that God's way, or are you going to practice that man's way? Well, let's ask and answer three just very simple questions related to dating to show kind of the contrast that is obviously there between the world's way and the world's recommendation, the world's standard for dating, and the Christian's way for dating. Number one, the question that may be asked, why date in the first place? Here are some answers, and these are not all-inclusive answers, by the way, but here are just a few that I have thought of, that I've experienced, that perhaps people have said to me, or I have heard other folks say. The world may give you the answer to the question, why date, as really, this is something to promote yourself. Well, you know, it makes me look good. If I have got a young lady or a young man I'm going out with, that I can say, here is my boyfriend, here is my girlfriend, that in some way makes me look good. And isn't that what our world is all about? It's about selfishness and promoting ourselves. It's to promote self. Some in the world may answer the question of why date. It's to select your, quote, soulmate, or to fall in love. I don't really know that God has one particular person in mind for us out of all the billions of people. There might be some people that perhaps we are more attracted to on several different levels, that we have more in common, but the old saying that opposites do attract is also true. But sometimes I think the world kind of feeds us this message, young folks, and I've read it. I've read some of those books when I was of dating age. And even supposed Christian authors, not true Christians, but people who have God's morals and values, have kind of promoted this idea. I don't know that it's all bad, but it's almost the idea of you. There's so much pressure on you as a person who's trying to find someone to date and to marry that you got to select the right one, and there's only one right person for you. The idea certainly of falling in love, I think that is just all throughout, that message is preached all throughout our culture and has been for decades, even some of the kids, young kids' movies. You know, as I had the opportunity to watch some of those movies with Abigail. And it's just kind of maybe that idea of falling in love. And I don't know that perhaps that's all necessarily bad. But let me say to you about that. If you can fall in love, you can fall out of love. And we'll speak about maybe a better way to look at that in just a moment. Some people may say in the world, you're going to date for financial benefits. You know, for a young lady, well, I don't have to pay for my meals anymore. There's going to be some financial benefit for me. We know this last answer that many in our time would give as to why you should date is to determine sexual compatibility with another person. Let's see if we're on the same page, sexually speaking, before we make this commitment of marriage to one another. And of course, that leads to many people in our time just living with one another. Here are some answers that a Christian can give as to why to date. You want to just have someone to have fun with. You want someone that you can be a companion with. Maybe thinking about companionship being a little bit deeper than just someone to have fun with. You do want to find a mate. You want to find someone to marry and to spend the rest of your life with, and someone that you can enjoy all of life's up and downs with. As a Christian, we ought to look at dating as choosing love, that we're, as we're looking for a spouse, hopefully, that we choose to love that particular person. Again, as you go back and you read the Bible, as you read those Old Testament stories about those marriages that were arranged, it says, I think, toward the end of that chapter, talking about Abraham choosing a wife for Isaac, that he chose Rebekah for her, and it tells us there that Isaac and Rebekah went into the tent and he loved her. He chose to love this woman he had never gone on a date with. He didn't pick her out. He chose to love her rather than just thinking this is something that you fall into. So there is definitely a contrast between God's way and man's way of thinking. Who to date? I'm not going to give you names this morning. But here are some answers from the world. Well, I want to date someone who's good looking. Someone in a young lady who is very pretty on the outside and a young man who's just very handsome. Someone who has a great body, that they work out, that they're fit. Someone maybe who drives that kind of car that we're all envying. That sports car, guys, or a status car that says they're somebody important. Someone who is wearing the right kind of clothes. All of these kinds of superficial answers are answers that the world gives about who I'm going to choose today. What about a Christian, though, as we think about dating? Our answer should be, it's someone who has and is developing Christ's character and wants to help you do the same. Very simply put. Now, I will tell you, in giving some of these worldly answers to dating, that I have sadly given some of these answers. And some of the more external things have been on my mind, I think, more than some of the internal things. It is a struggle. Where to find a date? The world might say things like this, well, you need to go to the bar. You need to go to a club to find someone to date. You need to go to the beach and check out all of the young men and young ladies there. You need to get on the internet. That is the craze all of these days. And I'm not against meeting someone online at all. But there's just all kinds of, you know, if you watch TV very much, there's all kinds of ads all the time. Even for ChristianSingles.com and all of these kinds of different sites. If we're going to do that, we need to be very careful about that. And we need to develop a relationship with that person and really get to know them, because lots of people have gotten into trouble that way. Here are some answers maybe a Christian can give. What about starting where you are in the local church? You may think, well, you know, I've known that guy or that girl all my life, and they're just a friend. But are they developing the kind of character that God wants them to? Are they a person that you think will help you in that regard? Some of our young people, as they have been going here the last few weeks to summer camps, just a great opportunity and venue for them to meet other young Christians who have that same mindset. You're going to find, I think, some people who are supposedly Christians who are just as worldly as anybody else. But you're also going to find some young men and some young women who really are trying to serve God. Just all kinds of events that I think are, at least where I grew up, were not going on, that parents weren't doing these kinds of things where I grew up anyway, and I think it's just a great thing for our time and for our young people here that they just have so many opportunities, home Bible studies, singings in the area, youth lectures that are going on. And, you know, when I was a dating age, and I really started dating in college and older, I took advantage of all these opportunities. Sometimes maybe too much from the standpoint of just trying to find someone to date or someone that might be a future spouse, but it's a great place to look for someone who has the same values as you do. As we discussed in last month's lesson, God's way in anything, including dating, it is the narrow way, as Jesus spoke of there in Matthew chapter 7. It is the road less traveled. It's going to be, perhaps in some ways, more difficult for those who are Christians to go through this process. So what is God's way for dating? And how do I date His way in today's world? There's many different answers we could give to this question, but three that I have chosen for us to think about very quickly. I'm going to see how quickly I can get through this because Kyle is holding Elijah this morning. He seems to be doing good so far, that's great. But we'll see how quickly we can get through these and still say something worthwhile about each one of them. Number one, we need to see dates as God sees them. We mentioned this truth a few weeks ago from 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. You might remember that text that we looked at where God had charged Samuel with the responsibility of finding another king, a new king for Israel, because Saul had begun to not trust God and he began to go in his own way and disobey God. And God said to Samuel as he came to Jesse's sons there, and Samuel looked at the firstborn son and he said, "Surely this is he. You know, he looks like a king on the outside." And God said to him, "No, that's not him." He says that man, God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We need to see people as God sees them, and this truth certainly applies, young folks, to those whom you are dating. As we just looked at that list of answers that the world oftentimes gives to dating, worldly people see dates based solely on the outward appearance. Now, all of us are going to notice someone's outward appearance, aren't we? That may be perhaps the first thing that we notice about them before they even speak a word. We can't know really anything about their character if we haven't been around them. But we need to look past that. Yes, we notice the outward. As the Lord's people, though, those of you who are dating must see dates as God sees them, by as best you can looking at that particular person's heart. So I was thinking about this particular point. I have been thinking about this for some time, for several months back, I guess. Thinking back to the book of Judges, if you turn there in Judges chapter 14 for just a moment. Judges chapter 14, maybe that illustrates this particular point in the negative. Judges chapter 14, thinking about Samson, verse 1 beginning. The Bible says, "Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, 'I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and his mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' But Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she looks good to me.'" The words that come out of Samson's mouth may seem a little bit strange for us if we know the background to his story, to his family. Given the fact that in the previous chapter, chapter 13, his father, you might remember, and really both of his parents, it seems, showed great concern for this boy's life even before he was born. Back in chapter 13, verse 8, as the angel, you remember, came and spoke to Manoah's wife and then came back and spoke to Manoah again. Verse 8, "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please let the man of God whom you have sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born.'" He issues that same sentiment down in verse 12. Manoah said, "Now when your words come to pass, what shall be the boy's mode of life and his vocation?" His parents showed a lot of concern before Samson even was born in wanting to lead him, it seems, in the right way, lead him in the right direction, asking God to be a part of their rearing and training and teaching and talking to of their young son. However, somewhere along the way, and I don't know that Scripture really tells us which it is, maybe a combination of the two, but it seems to me that somewhere along the way, either his parents failed to make that prayer a reality for him, or he just chose to ignore the truth they instilled in him and go in a different direction. Whichever one it was that occurred, Samson's criteria for a potential spouse here in verse 3 was very shallow, wasn't it? He wasn't concerned about the character of this woman. I kind of assumed that he didn't know anything about really her character, other than the Bible says she was a Philistine. She was not among the people of God. She was not a believer in God, a worshiper of God. But he says here to his parents in verse 3, "Get her for me, for she looks good to me." There's lots of other things we can continue reading in the story here about parents and their involvement in their children's lives and even in dating and marriage and all that kind of thing, even though we don't have arranged marriages today. That certainly is worth your time as a parent to look at that and to think about that. But just to make this point about how he was making this choice and how he was seeing young women, just kind of as a little bit of a side note and extension to that, when you come to chapter 16 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her." And as chapter 16 continues, we remember there with Delilah, this kind of seemed to be his pattern. That he was looking at women just on based on the external of what he could see on the outside. He wanted a pretty girl to marry. And that seemed to be all that he was concerned with. In contrast to that, we come to passages like Proverbs 31 and verse 30 as the mother here of this king, King Lemuel, is speaking to him and giving him some wise counsel about women. And, you know, we think about this, and I've even used this text on Mother's Day or other occasions to talk especially to those who are women about the kind of women, the kind of character that you are trying to be as a godly woman and a godly wife and a godly mother. And certainly there is value in that. But again, given the context of setting here, this is a mother giving some instruction to her son. This is the kind of woman you need to be looking for. This is the kind of person you need to be seeking out. And we come to the end of that description, verse 30, where she says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Young men in the audience this morning that are of dating age, is this how you approach dating? Are you pursuing a young woman only on the way she looks outwardly? Or are you also, and more importantly, pursuing a young woman on the way she looks inwardly? We can't see that many times when we're young. I mean, we're, you know, the expression, we're blinded by love. We kind of get caught up in that fog of love. And those outward things attract us. And there's not anything necessarily wrong about someone's appearance, being pretty or handsome or that kind of thing attracting us. But is that, are we just looking skin deep? The wise man gives us some counsel here, even to young people, that charm is deceitful. It may appear to be a very good thing, as he said, states elsewhere in the Proverbs about living with a contentious woman and all of those grim pictures, that she may be a very beautiful woman on the outside, but if she doesn't have God's character on the inside, your life is going to be miserable. Beauty is vain. Here's what's important. Here is what is true. Here is what is substance. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Could I make just a suggestion to you, and you may think this is the silliest thing that you have ever heard, young folks, or maybe anybody in the audience. But when I was dating, I sat down at one point in that whole process and just made a list of qualities that I was seeking in a spouse. And as time went on, as I dated several young ladies, may have adjusted that list somewhat. And that's fine. But I would say to you, that seems to me to be a good thing to do. If you don't want to just physically sit down and write a list, to have some things in your mind at the very least. And don't compromise on the most important qualities, because simply you are desperate to find someone to date or you are desperate to find someone to select as your mate. Don't compromise on those qualities. Talking about biblical qualities, godly qualities. Choose someone again who will